Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the I Shall Protect You, My Love department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You might say that. You know, a few weeks ago, we got a call from a man of the cloth, shall we say.
Yes.
Who was bragging about a Yugo that he had.
Oh, I remember.
Remember him?
Well, yeah, at least defending it.
Defending it. Yeah, well, I got another defense of one here from a guy named Joshua Engel. I don't know where he's from. Doesn't matter. Here's what he says. I lived in a rough neighborhood of Philadelphia during my junior year of college, in a house with four other guys. One of the guys owned a Yugo and kept it parked on the street. A problem arose because we lived across the street from a bar frequented by the locals. Every night at closing time, the patrons of this bar thought it would be great fun to tip over the Yugo. And every morning, we would have to go out and tip the car back up. This problem was solved by bringing the car into our living room every night. Of how many cars, could you ask? Did you remember to bring in the car?
Well,
and they brought it into their living room.
Why not?
I mean, I can visualize it, can't you?
Well, if you're going to have a car in your house, what room would you rather have it in? Not the kitchen. Because it would get, you know, there's a lot of traffic in the kitchen. You wouldn't know where to put it.
How about the garage?
Well, the garage might be a good choice if you had one. But if you didn't have one.
Living room is it.
The living room is the obvious choice because it obviously provides extra seating. But I remember we put Phil Gustafson's Volkswagen on the track at MIT. And we had to carry it a significant distance.
You did?
Yeah. There were a lot of us. And I think one of his bumpers came off, but I'm not sure. And the reason it was so difficult is we were laughing like hell. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. Or how to get your car into the living room, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jeannie, and I'm calling from Rochester, New York.
Jeannie?
Yeah.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
What's up?
I have a 1993 Lexus ES300 that I bought from my parents, and it has recently been doing the oddest thing. If I start it up when the car is cold and I drive it for about a half a mile and then stop at a light, the car will emit an odor of maple syrup.
Really?
It's always good to start off a show with maple syrup.
There's something really odd.
Maple syrup. You know, yeah. I have a vague recollection that you're not the first person to use that expression. What is this smell?
Well, I think what maple syrup is antifreeze.
You know, it's and it doesn't happen every time. I mean, I'll drive it for a week and not smell it, and then it'll happen again.
Now, do you smell the smell before you get out of? In other words, you've driven the car a certain distance, the specified distance, whatever that is.
About a half a mile.
Half a mile.
Yeah.
You turn the thing off. Do you smell it upon exiting the car?
I haven't turned it off.
She hasn't turned it off. She stopped at a light.
I have to stop at a light for me to smell it. I've never smelled it while just driving along. If I stop at a light within about a half mile to a mile from the house, I'll smell it. In fact, it was always at the same corner, and for a long time, I thought it was the cafeteria at the local college. I was always at the same corner.
Well,
I finally smelled it going off in the other direction.
Ah.
But I have to be stopped for some reason.
And you don't live near an International House of Pancakes.
No.
And how long does this smell? I mean, if you then take off after the light turns to green, the smell's gone.
Yeah, it's so I get about like a puff of it, and then it dissipates, and it's gone. In 30 seconds, and then I won't smell it the rest of the day.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, I have a very important question to ask, and I know in advance I'm not going to like your answer.
And I know what the question is.
Okay.
Ready? The question is, what color is this car?
My husband told me to tell you that, and I didn't give you that information.
No.
It's white, though, isn't it?
It's green.
Green,
I thought so.
Have these incidents where you smell the maple syrup been preceded by a long-distance drive the day before?
Oh.
Smell it on a Tuesday, is it possible that on Monday you drove the thing, the last thing you did was drive from a great distance away and come to your house?
How big is the Great Distance?
Well, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 miles. I mean, greater than you usually drive by a significant amount.
I'm tempted to say no, but I don't know for sure.
Well, does it happen every day?
No. A couple times a week, maybe.
But you haven't noticed that this pattern exists, that it is followed, that it takes place following a long drive.
No, I don't think so.
You have one last chance to reconsider.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see if we can come up with a better question.
No. Well, it doesn't.
Or at least a question to which we can get a better answer.
As is often the case, it hardly matters what her answer is.
Right. You were ready, like all lawyers.
Right.
No matter what the answer is, you got to
always anticipate.
You're back.
Well, I think it's one of two things. I think either you have a leak in the heater. I don't think there's any doubt that what you're smelling is antifreeze. And antifreeze has not offensive, sweet smell to it.
Okay.
So you're smelling antifreeze, and the only question now is where it's coming from. Either you have a leak in the heater.
I don't like that.
Well, I don't like it either. That's why I asked the important question.
Yeah.
But I think that, in fact, the antifreeze smell is coming out the tailpipe.
Okay.
And the reason I asked about whether or not you'd driven it a long distance the day before is if you had a leaky head gasket, it would most likely allow antifreeze to pass through it into one of the cylinders and therefore able to come out the tailpipe after you had driven the car at sustained high speed and got the engine really hot and then stopped the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then overnight, a little amount of antifreeze would drip from that leak into one of the cylinders. And when you started it up the next morning, within a half a mile or so, that's how long it would take for that stuff to work its way down the exhaust system. You'd smell it coming out the tailpipe.
Oh, okay.
But I think that you need to go and have a head gasket test done.
Okay.
Either it's going to cost you many hundreds or many more hundreds. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're going to need it. Okay.
Thanks for calling, Jim.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
We just sit here and laugh.
Hey.
This woman is facing probably $1,000 worth of...
Oh, more.
It's even funnier. And we laugh.
Well...
It's only money.
What are you going to do?
It's only money.
Well, I mean, what would crying accomplish?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, she's got an
at
old...
At least laughing it allows you to continue on.
And she probably got a good deal. She bought the car from her parents.
She got it for nothing.
She probably got it for nothing.
Yeah.
So what if she spends $1,000?
No sweat off our noses.
Better than us.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
We don't even know who Jeannie is.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Maybe we should develop more empathy.
A little bit. Okay, we'll work on that. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Russ. I'm from Connecticut, but I'm up in Kittery, Maine right now, so it's kind of confusing.
Got you.
Yeah, what are you doing up in Kittery in the winter?
Well, actually, I learned to ski, but I'm the chief of the boat on a submarine. I'm up here in the shipyard.
Oh, the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Which is in Kittery.
Yeah, it really
is. Tell me about that, will you? I mean, what's with that?
It was done to confuse the Russians.
Trying to confuse the Russians.
Yeah. The shipyard's actually on an island in the middle of the river that's the border between Maine and New Hampshire.
What's your chief responsibility, so to speak?
Well, right now I'm the chief of the boat, so I'm the senior enlisted guy on the submarine.
Oh.
But what I've done for most of my time in the Navy is I've been a torpedoman.
Hey, my brother happens to have a boat. He's a mechanic, and so it's almost redundant. He has. Could you hire yourself out to be chief of his boat someday?
Well, how much is he paying?
Pay
for the right money, I can probably. I'll be there.
Want to make a deal right now?
Well, we could. Huh?
So you got torpedo problems, or submarine problems, or car problems?
I got car problems.
Cool.
I got an '87 Jeep Cherokee, and it's got a hydraulic clutch.
Yeah.
And this is what it does. Somehow it gets air. It's like it gets air in there, and it kind of goes away. It gets you really notice it on the interstate. You drive it for a long distance, and you have to pump the clutch like you'd pump brakes on an old car that weren't working.
Mm-hmm.
And you pump it up, and then it releases, and you can shift. And around town, it's not too bad. It sits overnight, it's much better in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently drove it to Florida, and when I down there in the heat and the warmth of Florida, it was much worse.
You drove this thing. What are you, nuts? You
Wait
drove this thing all the way to Florida?
Yeah.
How do you know where he started from? He might have started from South Carolina.
Oh, started from Kittery.
He started from Kittery, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I brought it back here, too.
No kidding. How,
yeah.
Did you drive all the way by yourself?
No, I took my son with me.
Did he? Does he drive?
Yep. He got his license on Wednesday, and we left on Friday.
He does now.
So.
And did you drive straight through, or did you lay over somewhere?
No, we drove straight through.
How long did it take?
About 21 hours.
21 hours?
Wow.
Hey.
Not bad.
See, we're planning a little trip like that, the boys.
Yeah, we figure we'll be making 48 hours. So anyway, let's get back to your problem.
Well, forget his problem. He needs a clutch master cylinder. What? So, on this trip, where are the best places to...
Where's the best places to eat?
Well, wherever you buy gas.
Oh, that bad, huh?
Yeah, well, you know. You can't. You're gonna make it 21 hours. You can't be stopping and messing around.
So anyway, Russ, it's the consensus opinion here that you need a clutch master cylinder, unless you tell us you've replaced it already.
But see, why is it different on the interstate than driving around town?
Because it is temperature sensitive. Because what's happening is the fluid is sneaking past the seal.
I mean, I thought about that, but
the diameter of the seal is temperature sensitive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not really 100% sure of any answers.
Well, for example...
But in this case, we're pretty close to 100% sure of this.
Are we in agreement on this?
Imagine you have a torpedo in the tube. Okay? And someone heats up the tube. The tube gets bigger. So the torpedo's going to be loose in there.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, you want to drive down to Florida with us? We could use another driver.
You guys scuba dive?
Well, not yet.
Hey, Russ, nice talking to you.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
It's like busman's holiday, right? The guy's in a submarine for 10 months out of the year.
He gets
below
the
Arctic ice, and he goes scuba diving. Okay, I can't figure.
Well, maybe he likes that stuff.
Maybe he should have been a fish. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christopher from Piney Orchard, Maryland.
Christopher.
Piney Orchard?
You got it.
Piney Orchard.
I love it.
Right smack dab between Baltimore and D.C.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a nice place.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I was hoping you guys could help me out with a very serious heating issue in a Volkswagen Golf.
Okay.
My girlfriend Katie owns a beautiful Golf, and the problem is, in the winter, when I get into the car, I freeze and she stays warm. The reason I freeze is because she refuses to turn the heat on, and she's all bundled up, hence why she stays warm.
And you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Exactly.
And Bermuda shorts.
Exactly. She refuses to turn the heat on
because
she thinks it wastes the gas, just like the air conditioner in the summer.
Oh, really?
What kind of a cheapskate is she?
I wish I knew.
How long has she been your girlfriend?
About 2.5 years.
How long have you known that she was nutso?
Well, about 2.5 years.
Oh, and it doesn't bother you?
Well, I thought coupon clipping was great, but this is a little too much.
Does the car have air conditioning in it?
Everything.
Doesn't use it, though.
It's loaded. No, of course not.
Well, it so happens.
Yeah, go ahead.
It so happens that the heat is one of the only things that you really almost do get for free. Air conditioning you don't get for free.
Correct.
Because when the air conditioner is running, the compressor has to work, which really sucks energy from the engine and therefore does significantly reduce your gas mileage.
So the AC she's justified with.
She's justified with that, but the heat, the only thing that you're sucking energy from the engine with is the fan.
Which isn't a heck of a lot, is it?
Which ain't much at all. And in fact, even if the fan weren't turned on, you'd get a little bit of heat anyway.
So I'm freezing for nothing.
So she has it turned all the way over to the blue thing, right?
Exactly. You got it.
Oh, yeah, no, she... Yeah, no,
even if she just pushed it over to the red end, then all it would do would be the hot water, the hot coolant, would run through the heater core.
Right.
And you might get a little bit of heat from it. And maybe you could talk her into turning the fan on low.
That's why I called, because I hope you guys, the three of us, can get her to turn it on.
Well, did she learn this from her daddy?
You can't go there with this one.
Because if she did, I'll tell you, it's going to take more than three of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to take more than 3 hours.
You mean Lord Kelvin himself, I think, might have a hard time convincing her.
Yes, you've got it.
So, jeez.
Yeah. She learned all this from her father.
Oh.
And there's not much you can do. I mean, fathers have passed on so much misinformation to their kids about driving and fixing cars and all that stuff.
So I'll send him the thank you letter.
Yeah, I mean, she otherwise a wonderful person.
Oh, beautiful.
She
love
is,
her to
huh?
death. Yeah.
You think there's any hope for her?
Oh, maybe with you guys.
Jeez, I hope so. Well, at the next sign of trouble, call us right back, will
I
you?
I will.
All right.
Good luck, Christopher.
Thanks a million.
You're going to need it, man.
Take care.
Man alive.
Hey, Tommy, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't. I mean, I told you. I'm a busy man. I got a lot on my mind. You think I have time to remember every little thing that you say every week? I'm supposed to keep track of everything I think and everything you think, too? What do you want from me?
Is this one of those the best defense is a good offense approaches?
Well, it wasn't until you caught on.
All right, anyway, the puzzler was about a stabbing and Anglo-American relations, and I'll be back with the whole story, gruesome story, in just a minute.
I wake up in the morning and it's 40 below. The weatherman tells me it's too cold to snow. I look out the window and I know that he's lying. My car's out of sight and the snow is still flying. Will the car start?
Hey, you know it won't.
Did they plow the road?
You know they don't.
Am I late for work?
You know you are.
Stuck again.
So is your car.
I shovel and I shovel and I shovel that snow. I gotta get out but my car won't go.
Over, play some 15-2. I gotta cheer up, cause I feel so blue. Crank up the blower.
Hey, it won't run.
Grab the shovel.
Ah, it's much more fun.
My back is broke.
You're halfway there.
Snowing again. Well, I don't care.
And even though Bondo, the human cannonball, curses the accurate placement of his catch net whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this was sent in by Jason Margulies, I believe, from cyberspace. We don't know his exact location, or maybe not even his identity for that matter. Here it is.
Yeah.
Two American businessmen were visiting three of their British counterparts and were enjoying a night at the boss's English mansion. Over a dinner of fine English cuisine, i.e. smoked shoe leather, the group discussed the differences between the two countries. And you know, as is often the case when men get together, they started talking sports. And someone mentioned how our game of baseball is descended from cricket. Anyway, as the night wore on, one of the British businessmen, Ian, realized he wanted to get a report he had left in his office. So he and one of the Americans, Dave, headed off together. They were gone only a short time, but when they arrived back at the mansion, they were surprised to see police cars parked in front. An officer approached the two men and asked them to identify themselves and explained that a servant had been attacked by one of the three guests in the house. The servant had been stabbed in the right shoulder and had managed to call the police before he passed out. He was currently unconscious in hospital. Ian, who was obviously innocent, said, I have an idea how to find out which of these three suspects did it. So there are two Brits and one American now under suspicion. He assembles all of the men in the study, and he began pacing in front of the fireplace and talking in an animated manner about what he thought had happened. You know, kind of like Sherlock Holmes would do, puffing on his calabash pipe and whatnot. Near the fevered climax of his presentation, Ian picked up three knickknacks from the mantelpiece and tossed them one by one to the three suspects. Ian had concluded that since the servant's wounds were on the right shoulder, the attacker was left-handed, and the person who caught the trinket with his left hand would be the culprit. To his dismay, each of the three men caught the trinket in his right hand. a bored-looking policeman said, "Nice try, Sherlock." Or rather, "Nice try, Sherlock." Just then, out of the inky shadows, Dave, the American who had ridden with Ian to retrieve the report, remember that, an hour ago?
I remember that, yeah.
He said, "Actually, Ian's trick worked quite well, and it looks like I'll be flying home alone." How did he know it was his countryman who had attacked the servant?
So his conclusion is that of the three guys, one of them is an American, and the American is the one who did it, even though he caught the thing with his right hand.
Not even though, but because. Because American boys who learn to play baseball, if they're left-handed, catch with the glove on the right hand. So if you're a lefty and something is thrown to you, you might instinctively reach up with your right hand and catch it, just like you would as a righty. And the glove on y'all. You never wore a glove, did you? What was wrong with you? but the American who reached up with his right hand betrayed the fact that he was a lefty. And he was the one who wielded the knife in his left hand and stabbed the servant.
You're gonna get so much mail from
of
this one.
Of course I am. Send it right on to. Wait a minute. Don't send it to me. I'll give you his email address, too, because that's Jason Margulies.
Oh, man.
I think it's great. I hear the cries now. I hear them from outside the studio. Gus. I'll be surprised if I get very much.
You will admit it's a little bit iffy.
You think that one's bad? What did you hear this week? Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is 14-year-old Sarah Davidson. No kidding. From Bethesda, Maryland. What, do we ask people for their ages now? Anyway, for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Sarah Davidson, Bethesda, Maryland, will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. You know, I don't think we have a single item in the Shameless Commerce Division that a 14-year-old girl would be interested
Absolutely
in.
Absolutely we do.
What? Go ahead, give me another one.
We have hats.
We have hats. Yeah, actually, yeah. And we have T-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, we have fleece. Now, fleece is good.
Yeah, we'll fleece her for
$26. Anyway, you can pick up whatever you like. She might like one of the CDs that we have.
There you go.
So thanks and congratulations to you, Sarah Davidson from Bethesda, Maryland.
Good work, Sarah. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. And I should mention it's automotive.
Ooh.
It's historic. Folkloric.
Wow.
And sophomoric.
Metaphoric?
That too.
Paragoric?
you may need the paragoric. So anyway, don't nod off just yet. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything, just give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heather. I'm calling from Morenci, Michigan. And I have a 99 Jeep Cherokee that makes this popping noise when I go over like a big pothole or hit a rough railroad track.
A hopping noise?
Popping.
Popping. Oh. In the dashboard. The dashboard like pops. It's just a real, it's a fast, quick pop. But it seems like it's within the plastic.
Can you make the sound?
Well, what makes you think it's within the plastic?
Well, it sounds like plastic breaking. Here, I have a little thing here. It sort of sounds like this. Did you hear that?
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Is it that loud?
In the car, it's pretty loud, you know, because it's, you know.
And what did you use to make that noise?
Just now?
Yeah.
A baby wipe tub.
Oh, baby wipe.
Yeah, I just popped it open, but it's plastic.
Oh, you popped
plastic.
It open. And
yeah.
And that's what the sound is like.
It's similar, but it sounds more like something is breaking than, you know, opening.
Sounded more like a snapping noise to
yes,
me.
Yes, exactly.
And you have to, and it's coincident with hitting a bump.
Every time.
Does it make a difference whether the bump is on the left side or the right side?
I haven't noticed that.
Is the sound coming from the left side or the right side?
It's definitely on the left. It seems like it might be, like, below the steering wheel.
Yeah, here's what it is. I'm going to make something up for
you. Oh, yes.
I could ask a leading question here. Have you bought new tires recently?
Yes, but I almost thought it was doing it before.
But say no.
Okay. No, I haven't, or no, it wasn't doing it before.
Okay. No, it wasn't doing it before.
Okay, I'll
but you have bought new tires.
Yes.
Did you ever have an accident of any kind on the left front? Even though it may have been minor. Something you didn't tell your husband
and,
about.
And even no, if it happened before you bought the car.
Yeah, it's used, though.
It's so used.
It's conceivable.
Ah.
Well, here's what I think the noise is coming from. It is plastic making the noise. And what your car has, like lots of other cars, is a plastic inner fender liner.
You think so?
I think so. I think that when the suspension gets pushed to its maximum, like hitting a bump or a pothole, but a bump especially, the tire is grabbing that piece of plastic and snapping it. Snap! And while it could sound like it's coming from the dashboard, I think that's it.
Oh, man.
Come on, Heather.
Yeah, well,
stick with me here.
I don't know anything.
Wait a minute.
Where
exactly is the point of contact? At the bottom end?
The tire. No. The tire, about midpoint in the tire, is hitting the fender liner. You know, the fender liner doesn't go all the way to the ground.
No, but where is the tire hitting the fender liner?
Where the fender liner is, where it's sticking out. It's not in place properly.
Yes,
it's not. That's why I asked if it had an accident or if some work had been done on the car or if she bought new tires, because sometimes big tires, bigger than the original ones, could cause this kind of impingement. and it would sound just like the snapping open of the butt wipes container.
Well, I have to say it's a very creative.
Do I get
but any, bogus nonetheless?
Do I get any points for creativity?
You get points for creativity and points for bogosity.
Jeez. I mean, that's the best I can do for you, Heather.
Okay.
Yeah.
But well, does it actually sound to you like it's coming from outside the passenger compartment rather than inside the passenger compartment?
I would have said inside.
I thought you would have.
Yeah.
But this time to reconsider.
If my brother sent you $20, would you think maybe it was?
I mean, you haven't had anyone else. Has anyone else heard this sound?
No. Well, yes. Other people have heard it, but I haven't had a professional look at it.
Yeah. Well, no one's. Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do. I would take it to the place where you have your oil changes done.
Okay.
And if he's got a few minutes or she's got a few minutes, mention this whole little story.
Okay.
And ask if they can look to see if there's any place where they think one of the tires, probably the left one, has been hitting the inner fender liner.
Okay.
And you'll be surprised when they say, yep, right here.
I'd be really pleased if that were the case.
Yeah, yeah. I would too.
Well, I have to say, it's an incredibly creative answer.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Great.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Do you know what time it is?
Time to put itching powder in Berman's softball uniform?
No, not yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we unearth a caller from a previous show.
I don't like unearth.
To see if our advice provided aid and comfort to our caller, or
provided a contingency fee for some pettifogging lawyer. So who's playing this week?
It's Galen from Athens, Georgia. Remember Galen?
No, enlighten me,
well,
please.
Well, Galen called us because he was having some trouble with his Audi A4.
After letting my dad drive it for a couple of days, it started sputtering when I accelerate. My dad had it, and he accidentally put in about a half a tank of regular gasoline.
And if we can blame it on him, will he pay?
it says on the gas cap to put in premium.
Is it often the case that it's worse when it's damp out?
Man, I don't have enough data.
It's in your best interest to say yes.
Oh,
I just want you to know that.
Well, truthfully, I think the first time that I noticed it was raining heavily.
Oh, that's very good.
All right.
Yeah,
because this could save you hundreds of dollars.
Leading the witness. You were leading the witness.
Yeah, but the question is, was I leading him correctly?
All right, well, we suspected spark plug wires. Let's see how we did. Galen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's right.
And the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the fact that your father's been trying to cut you out of his will?
Nope.
So, give it to us straight. Was it the spark plug wires?
It sure was.
Hey! Listen to that applause from the studio audience.
Man, must be 1,000 people out there. That's good. So it's running like a dream?
It's running like a tiny god.
Oh, man, that's great. I have to say that this was a softball for us. It was an easy question. Yeah, let's face it.
Hey, you know, we need
guy to be... says it's pouring rain, the car won't run. You'd have to be a moron to not come up with spark plug wires. But, hey, we'll take the base hits any way we can get them, right?
That's right. It helps us in next year's negotiations. Galen, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, and I'm glad your car is running like a top again.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
If you should hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestions from cartalk.com. You know, somebody you say, oh, I know that was bogus, and they can't possibly be right.
No, we don't.
Suggest that to Berman, and he'll be right on that person. Bingo.
We're going to get 3 million emails a week. anyway, you can call, and you can undoubtedly stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mandy. I'm calling from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts.
Mandy? There's a minister handy, Mandy?
Mandy?
Not quite, but...
You don't remember that song. You're too young.
I think I am.
Mandy, there's a minister handy, and I think it's just Andy.
I think I heard that on the Lawrence Welk show once.
And that was me singing on the Lawrence Welk show.
And now Bobby and Marianne would like to do a nice song for you from the gay 90s. Hit it, boys. Jeez.
The only Sorry song about... I know is the Barry Manilow song.
Yeah, that's a little more contemporary. Sorry about that. Anyway, what's going on?
So I drive a 1991 Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
It has 157,000 miles on it, and it is in mint condition.
Great.
So here's my problem. I just got engaged, and my fiancé thinks that I really need to get rid of the car. He thinks it's a death trap.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he buying?
Well, that's a very good question.
Yeah.
So this car has not given me a day of trouble. It is fuel efficient. I probably put gas in it once a month. The insurance is cheap. I don't really worry about it getting stolen. It's just a great car.
What kind of an SUV does your fiancé drive?
He drives a Volkswagen Passat.
Okay.
And so his reason for thinking that the Corolla is a death trap is simply its size or
it has
its age or what?
It has no airbag.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
That, yeah.
And what kind of driving do you do in this car?
Mostly just city driving.
Do you drive it to work every day, for
no.
example?
Nope, I take the bus to work.
You take the, good for you.
Yeah.
So, you won't
dump him.
Dump him.
Why?
Well, you can always get another fiancé, but these 91 Corollas are hard to find.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's really, the car has just been so great.
Yeah, well, jeez, I would stand my ground if I were you.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah, how long do you think the car's going to last?
Well, who knows?
It
but
could last another 5 years, considering how you drive it.
You probably put 5,000 miles a year on it.
Right.
It could last forever.
Yeah. I mean, it'll rot away before its mechanical systems
give
out.
Yeah, no, we've been taking care of the rust and stuff, like, as it's come up. So it's in really good shape.
You and he?
My dad and I.
Oh, dad, yeah. And dad likes the car.
Dad loves the car.
Well, if dad loves it, you've got to keep it. And tell your fiancé that, look, I only drive around town. And while it isn't the safest car, neither is your Passat.
All right.
Yeah, and if it comes down to the car or him,
yeah.
My brother's right, dump the guy.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for your help.
Hey, Mandy.
Yes.
Thanks a million.
Okay. Well, thank you.
See ya.
See
bye-bye. Bye-bye. He's already trying to get the ring off.
That stupid jerk. I'll never speak to love to break up love affairs.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
You?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I think on that note, it's time for us to take a break.
Yeah,
you
because
say.
You know what's coming up next? My brother is going to dazzle us with a spectacular new puzzler that will knock your socks off.
Aw, I wish you wouldn't raise expectations like that.
What? I deleted the phrase Pulitzer Prize winning like you asked me to.
Great! We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
One morning while reading the paper, in search of a new set of wheels, the classifieds had a most curious ad in their listing. Automobiles. I read in suspicious amusement what seemed like a wild stroke of luck. Corvette Stingray, it said, low mileage, bright red, 83 model,
$65. Now I was used to my newspaper's typos. Still I call up that number straightway. About that 83 vet. Have you sold that thing yet? She said no. You're my first call today. I said there's been some mistake in the paper. They printed the price wrong somehow. Oh no, replied she. They got that from me. I said don't sell that car, I'm leaving now.
And even though mathematicians try to figure out how 1 plus 1 can equal 0 whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And as I promised, this is...
Historic, folkloric,
automotive,
automotive,
sophomoric, and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, go, man.
And this was, and I had to obfuscate and clarify and and bogosify and all that, this puzzle. But the essence of it was sent in by Stephen Salon. I think that's how you pronounce his name, and I don't know where the heck he's from. He didn't tell. But here it is. Jerry had worked lots of summers, and he had finally accumulated enough money to buy himself a brand-new 1968 Volkswagen Beetle.
Is this B.C. or A.D.?
B.C.E.
68?
It's 1968, and it was a dark and stormy September night that Jerry and his college roommate pulled the brand-new Beetle out of the dealership parking lot in Chicago on their way to college at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Now, since the thing was brand new and hadn't been broken in, they decided to drive the shiny new bug on the back roads of Wisconsin so as not to exceed the break-in speed. You know, they were afraid that if they drove it on the highway, they'd be tempted to go too fast and the break-in speed
sure.
would be exceeded and they'd ruin the engine
right.
before it was going to get ruined anyway. Okay. Well, anyway, the roads they chose were muddy and rutted and it was really... quite an adventure. I mean, they ran out of gas they on these roads, they were bouncing from one pothole to another, and eventually they had a blowout, as you might expect.
Brand new car.
Well, wow. Searching for the spare, they found it under the hood, where the engine should have been. And, you know, without even reading the instruction manual, they carefully replaced a bad tire with the spare and then put the blown tire where the spare had been. And they continued on their muddy route looking for a service station where they could get the flat tire repaired. Well, a few miles down the road, lo and behold, they come across, you ready for this? Helmut's German Car Repair.
Oh, Helmut.
An oasis of European automotive expertise in rural Wisconsin. I mean, what
wow.
are the chances of that?
Yeah.
No,
I mean, jawohl.
No sooner had they pulled up the driveway, carefully navigating through the mud-splattered windshield, then out popped Helmut, who immediately said to the driver, "You here to get the tire fixed, eh?"
Oh.
"You here to get the tire fixed, eh?"
Yeah. Jawohl.
No, eh. Hey, he must have lived in Canada.
One of those Canadian Germans.
He must have lived in Canada. And Jerry said,
"How?"
"We are. How did you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how did Helmut, who had never seen them before,
yeah.
never seen the brand new Volkswagen,
yeah.
could possibly have known that they were coming in
to get a tire fixed.
To get a tire fixed. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Or better still, on the back of a deed to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath condo in South Beach. Within a 5-block radius of the News Cafe, 24-hour doorman preferred, and send it to Hustler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us, of course, from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question and you can't wait, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi, this is Patricia, and I'm calling from Wilton, Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yes, everybody leaves out that second C.
Well, isn't it supposed to be left out?
It is?
I
Well, we're taking you as the expert. You live there.
I like to put it in.
Well, I think you should. I mean, what? I don't even know what kind of origin that state's name comes from.
But it does sound a little bit blue blood patrician to say Connecticut.
Well, it's actually easier to say Connecticut because it makes more sense.
Well, it does.
There must be a Connecticut expert somewhere around.
It's, you know, it must have something to do with casinos. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead, Patricia.
Okay, well, I have a 1998 BMW 323i convertible. And on my way to work one morning at 6 a.m., I hit a skunk and got skunked.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, it's still a month later, and it still smells.
Is the car blue?
It's black, and it has a hard top that's detachable.
Oh, that is a magnificent.
Which you leave
car.
On the front lawn when you're not. Would you?
Or whoever's lawn you happen to be at that day. All right. So what happened? You got skunked.
So I got skunked, and the people and my colleagues at work, they don't want me to park in our parking lot because they say it smells. And can you go somewhere else? And it's, oh, you're the car that got skunked. And one of my colleagues said to me, you know, at first I thought it was Patty 1, Skunk 0. Now I think it's Patty 1, Skunk 2.
Jeez. So have you tried anything?
Have I tried
like
it?
Going, well, I like went going to the car wash 15 or 20 times.
Well, I did go to the car wash, and they said for $25 that the smell would go away. So then when it went through the car wash and it got to the people who wiped it off, I said, it still smells. And they said, yeah. And I said, but the guy at the other end told me it wouldn't smell anymore. And then they laughed.
And they said he went home.
He doesn't work here anymore.
In fact, he never worked here.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened. I think the skunk is still with you.
Ah.
I think the reason the skunk is there is that you may have hit the skunk with what you think is your tire.
Yeah.
But I think rather the skunk is still riding around with you. My wife and I had a similar incident a couple of summers ago.
It was you.
God. We were leaving my sister's house on the Cape and going to our house, and it was a dark night.
My sister has a house on the Cape, too.
I think it's right next to mine, my sister. And our dog was the first one out the door, as she is often, and she encountered a skunk. At least we could smell skunk all over the place. And we quickly got the dog, who's very obedient ordinarily, and we quickly got her into the car. And my wife was driving, and we sped off. And I said, boy, the skunk smell is strong. And the farther we got from her house, the stronger the smell got. And I was convinced the skunk was following us. Well, the skunk wasn't following
us. But the dog was.
But the dog was in the back seat. And when we looked, she was rubbing herself all over the upholstery to rid herself of the skunk smell. And it's a good thing it wasn't my car that we were in.
Yeah, it was probably one of those cars that Bugsy gave.
We said, we know nothing. But anyway, it took a long time. I'm going to say close to a year to get the smell out of the upholstery. And what the cheapest remedy, it turned out.
Your problem is not this bad, though, Patricia.
No, because this skunk
Your smell is outside the car.
It's this part of the skunk is stuck to the underbody of your car. And I think removing it will go a long way toward getting rid of the smell forever, because eventually the smell will abate, and the decay of the smell is pretty rapid as long as the skunk isn't still around.
Yeah.
We used isopropyl alcohol.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't work, but it was cheap. You know, no. But we have on our website something called the Fido Zone.
Okay.
F-I-D-O.
And it'll give you some other hints, which probably don't work either, but you can you're willing to try them all. But I think you need to have someone put the car on the lift and find the skunk.
If they can do that without passing out.
Yeah.
Well, we can put it on the lift, but it's going to cost you $100.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too
bad.
It
sounds like it's on the right rear tire.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's, maybe it's stuck up under the exhaust system. That's where the muffler is back there.
Yeah, that would be bad.
This could be bad.
Well, yeah, I Lysoled it.
Yeah, but you can't Lysol it enough if the body of the skunk is still there.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Someone has to put it on the lift.
Yeah.
And make sure they're wearing a gas mask when they do it, because you could be open to a lawsuit.
And if you could take it someplace that had a lift and a hose, that would be great. Because then, even if they didn't find anything, they could at least wash down the underside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where you're going to
No, you know, when you get rid of the source, they're going to find fur under the car.
Well, that's all it's going to take.
And when they remove the fur, you're going to be all set. Within, I would say, 6 months to a year, the snow will be completely gone.
And your muffler will fall off.
See you, Patricia. Good luck.
No, we could have taken that a little more seriously.
We could have, but
if it had been our car.
It was my car once. See you, Patricia. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eric in Minneapolis.
Hi, Eric. What's going on, man?
I have a parking ethics question.
Parking ethics.
My family and I went out to breakfast a couple of weekends ago.
Yeah.
Parked in a spot, a very large vehicle parked very near one of our doors. I won't say who because I don't want to.
Oh, so you were in a lot someplace, a parking lot.
Absolutely. And it was a real windy day, and when that person came back from the restaurant, opened the door, and it dinged the other car real well.
Oh, the wind blew it?
The wind kind of grabbed hold of it and really some force.
So you dinged the dingbat that was parked next to you?
Well, one of us.
One of us, but your vehicle.
That's correct.
Okay.
But you were there first, right?
Yes,
it was this other vehicle that parked too close to you.
Yeah, they kind of parked right on the white line, so they were real near to us.
Near to your driver's side door.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you did it.
No.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't me, but I'm protecting
your wife. Okay.
Okay. So the question is...
What's the question?
Well, the question is, we kind of looked around, and I got out of the car and looked at the car, and it turns out it still had its temporary license plate on it because it was brand new.
Oh.
And and we didn't have a pen with us to leave a note, so we waited. We waited for a little bit, as long as we could really tolerate it, and then we just left.
So
did you pretend at least to write a note in case anyone was looking?
No, no faking.
Yeah, we always do that. You know.
Yeah.
No, so what would the right thing to do be in this situation?
Gee, I mean, it seems kind of obvious, doesn't it?
Write a fake note and then...
You mean to tell me that no one could come up with any kind of device to write a note with?
Well, what we could
have
done...
scratched it into the paint on the side of his car. Your phone number. We did this call. I mean, let's go back for a minute. How bad was the ding?
I would say it hit that plastic molding that's kind of on the... I guess sort of the waistline of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And it didn't put a ding, but it put what I would call maybe a half-inch gouge, as the door scraped along.
In that molding, but not in the actual painted door itself.
That's correct.
That's exactly what the molding is there for.
Well, looks like I'm okay then.
I think so. Well, first of all, let's look at the facts here.
Yeah.
This guy bought a behemoth, which he's going to have trouble parking forever. Right? It's too wide, and not to mention the fact that parking lots have, without our knowledge, at night they do this. They move the lines closer and closer so they can get one or two more cars in every, you know, in every line of cars in a parking lot.
And I've seen them do that.
I know. I've seen them do it. I've done it. So there's that problem. And the fact that he's got this behemoth and he just got it means he had to learn the lesson sooner or later. He's got to go seek out a place where he can park without getting dinged by people like you, or he's going to buy a skinnier car.
But the fact that the damage was done to this plastic strip is irrelevant to the morality of the whole situation.
So you think the real question is if he had done damage, to the actual painted door.
To the painted door, which was going to cost $150 to fix.
Oh, more money. It's going to cost several hundred dollars. It seems preposterous that an accident as insignificant as this should cost $500 to fix.
That's
and if
true.
You were Eric, would you want to pay it?
Yes, I wouldn't want to pay it, but it would be my responsibility to pay it.
Oh, you're full of it!
No, I mean...
You know what?
I wouldn't like it. But I did the damage to somebody else's brand new...
But he parked so that you couldn't get in your car. Here's the alternative. He parks so close to you, you can't open the door without.
Well,
and then, so your choice now is to climb in the other, get in the other door,
climb
over the
stick
shift, rip your pants open doing this. And who's going to pay for your pants? Is he going to pay for your torn pants?
No, he's not.
I think he had a responsibility to make sure that you could get into your car. And if you couldn't get into your car without banging his
Wait,
door.
This is you that says all this. Eric didn't tell us that he couldn't get into the car.
Eric, I'm your attorney.
I would say it was close enough to be an issue, but we could get in. It was really the wind.
It was the wind.
Well, that's a factor, too.
Well, that's what all accidents are.
No.
But the fact remains, the accident occurred, and it was not the fact that anyone was parked illegally. Somehow he did damage to somebody else.
Let's just assume that I agree that I feel like I should pay for it.
Yeah, so
what do you think you should.
Well, I think you put a $50 bill under his windshield wiper. And
yeah, that'll last a long time in the parking lot.
Well, you hope he gets it before someone else does.
And if he doesn't, that's his
problem. If he doesn't, that's his problem, too. No, maybe you put it in an envelope. And you say, what's this? And you open it up, you see the $50 bill, and you say, oh, that'll go a long way towards fixing that $500 dent. But hey.
Hey, at least I got 50 bucks.
The fact that the guy's driving a big SUV has changed your attitude toward the whole situation. Because if the guy had been driving a Miata,
wouldn't have happened. Your door couldn't reach his Miata. I don't think there was any gross negligence on your part. I think you should sleep well at night. I'm sure we'll get 10,000 emails about this. And we'll find out that we're wrong. But for the time being, that's our story, and we're sticking with it.
I'll stay tuned then for an update.
Oh, yeah, be sure.
Hey, thanks a million for your call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See ya. Oh, boy. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Emily Mackey and Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the Calumet, ham croquette, vinaigrette, hard baguette, flageolette, veal blanquette, crepe Suzette, and Nicorette luncheonette is John Pugsley.
What a guy.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margaret of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our swimwear designer is C. Big Behinds. Our bowling coach is Menachem Down. Our customer credit officer is Noah Wayne Hellman. Our satellite radio critic is Candace B. Serious. Our fact checker from the Mexico City office is C.S. Verdad. Our breathalyzer administrator is Eureka Garlic. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the squirrels with high SAT scores in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And if you think about it, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1109, Gavotte, through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, play along with Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, if you like Stump the Chumps, you can now go online and check out all the previous episodes.
You can hear us triumphant in victory.
Or blaming the caller in defeat.
That's the Stump the Chumps archives, now at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Justin Bieber grows his hair back over his ears whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.